Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, October 14th, 2021. Coming up this hour,
Fed officials lay plans to taper as soon as next month.
A former Treasury Secretary blasts the Fed for its handling of inflation.
And big banks' earnings continue with Citigroup, Bank of America, Morgan Stanley, and Wells Fargo all reporting.
New York Mayor de Blasio calls for traffic congestion pricing, plus former Acting Attorney General Rosen meets with the committee on the Capitol riot. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshauer in sports. The Giants are hopeful Daniel Jones can play Sunday. The Rangers lost their season opener in Washington.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good Thursday morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm John Tucker. Bloomberg Daybreak is being brought to you by SEI. Crises and challenges highlight the power of partnership and character. Work for the common good. One community, SEI. Go to SEIC.com/banks.
And U.S. futures point to a higher open on this Thursday morning. It's 5:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes during the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 29 points. Dow futures up 186. NASDAQ futures up 128 points. And the 10-year Treasury yield right now 1.53%. John?
And Nathan, let's start with the latest from the Federal Reserve. Minutes from the central bank's latest meeting show officials ready to start pulling back their bond purchases as soon as last month. The markets took the news in stride. Stocks rose while yields on 2- and 10-year treasuries fell. Low rates will continue to be the norm, according to Wells Fargo portfolio manager Margie Patel.
So we think we are doomed to be in a very low interest rate environment as far as the eye can see. That's what the Fed wants, and they're the ones that have the ability to make that true.
Margie Patel says investors hoping for higher Treasury yields will likely be disappointed.
Well, staying on the Fed now, John, one outspoken former Treasury Secretary is taking aim at the central bank. Let's get the details from Bloomberg's Renita Young, who joins us live. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. Larry Summers is blasting Fed officials for their handling of inflation. The former Treasury Secretary says some are paying too much attention to social issues like the environment and financial access and not enough to the risk posed by higher prices.
We have a generation of central bankers who are defining themselves by their wokeness. They're defining themselves as by how socially concerned they are.
Bloomberg contributor Larry Summers made the comments on the heels of yesterday's latest inflation data. He says inflation risks are at the highest level since the 70s. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Renita. We'll get more inflation data today in the form of producer prices for September. Economists forecast an increase of 0.6%. And let's get more now from Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice.
Bloomberg Economics says supply shortages continue to nudge wholesale costs higher coming out of the pandemic, the tangled supply chain. There's evidence based on Wednesday's jump in the September Consumer Price Index that those costs are being passed on to households. A Federal Reserve survey suggests Americans are bracing for higher prices in the months ahead. Vinnie Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinnie, thank you. Price concerns are also rearing their ugly head in Asia today. China's factory gate inflation for September has now hit its highest level since 1995. We get details from Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis.
PPI jumped 10.7%, stoked by a nationwide energy crisis and spiking coal prices. The reading was higher than the 9.5% gain in August, and it exceeded the 10.5% estimate. Now, China's move to cut energy consumption has led to an electricity shortage, and as a result, we've seen factory production halts in more than 20 provinces. I'm Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Brian. Much of the price gains we're seeing are being blamed on supply chain issues. And now the White House laying plans to fight the supply chain slowdown by operating ports more effectively. Let's get that story from Bloomberg's Ed Baxter.
Los Angeles Port announcing it is going to operate now 24/7. President Joe Biden says meaningful.
This is across-the-board commitment to going to 24/7. This is a big first step in speeding up the movement of materials and goods through our supply chain.
Now, the Port of Los Angeles announcement came after discussions with the administration and labor unions, a step the White House called overdue. As well, six companies, including FedEx, United Parcel, also committed to expanding their deliveries. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, Ed, thank you. Moving to Wall Street now, it is all about big bank earnings. Citigroup, Bank of America, Morgan Stanley, and Wells Fargo all report this morning. We get more from Bloomberg Global Finance correspondent Shanali Basak.
After J.P. Morgan reported earnings yesterday, we saw average loans growing, but not by much, and not in every business. So we'll be watching for loan growth at Wells Fargo and Bank of America, two of the biggest consumer businesses in America, and Citigroup, one of the biggest in the world, and its card business as well is among the largest issuers. At Morgan Stanley, we'll be keeping an eye on equity trading, as it's the biggest equity trading shop on Wall Street, and J.P. Morgan had already blown it out of the water. Shanali Basak, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Shanali, thanks a lot. Turning to Capitol Hill now, a crackdown on big tech appears to be in the works. A bipartisan group of senators plans to introduce legislation to prevent companies like Amazon and Apple from giving an advantage to their own products over competitors. The bill, which will be announced later today, will prohibit companies from using data to hurt competition, stacking search results in their favor, or restricting other services on their platforms.
Well, meantime, one of Facebook's earliest investors is turning critical of the social media network, John. Reid Hoffman is the co-founder of LinkedIn and a partner at the venture capital firm Greylock Partners. He says Facebook has lost people's trust for good reason and isn't responding well to recent whistleblower claims.
Once you discover something that is potentially very dangerous and damaging, what we should now hear from the company is, when we saw these reports, here's the stuff we started doing. Here's the way we started making trade-offs against what might otherwise be in our interest, engagement, revenue, whatever, in order to solve these problems. And that's what you want to see from companies.
Reid Hoffman tells Bloomberg's Emily Chang he thinks the public is losing trust in Facebook. Futures are moving higher this morning. S&P futures up 29 points. Dow futures up 184. NASDAQ futures up 127 points. Little change to the 10-year right now. The yield 1.53%. NYMEX crude up 1% to $81.28 a barrel. COMEX gold up a tenth percent at $17.96.80. The euro right now 1.1616 against the dollar. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
Hi, thanks, Nathan. It's 5:07 on Wall Street, and let's bring in Michael Barr with more with what else is going on in New York and around the world.
John, thank you very much, sir. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio says the city's COVID-19 vaccination mandate for restaurants, gyms, and entertainment venues is going so well that only 15 businesses have been fined for not enforcing the policy. De Blasio says that the high rate of compliance with vaccine mandates shows that the vast majority of business owners want to keep their employees and customers safe.
Since that mandate was announced, the Key to NYC mandate, the city vaccination rate has increased 9% overall.
The mandate that started a month ago requires staff members at places where people gather inside, including restaurants, theaters, and fitness centers, to check for proof of vaccination. Mayor de Blasio is also amping up calls for congestion pricing to combat traffic in increasingly congested streets and encourage a fast return to mass transit amid the recovery from the pandemic. De Blasio says there is clearly a problem of too many people in cars. According to the MTA, traffic logged on the city's tunnels and bridges is about 3% above pre-pandemic levels as of Monday. Authorities say an off-duty NYPD officer shot two women inside a Brooklyn home in what police are calling a domestic dispute. One of the victims, a 24-year-old, was pronounced dead at a local hospital, while the other, a 23-year-old, remains hospitalized. Assistant Chief Michael Kemper says the officer was in an intimate relationship with a 23-year-old woman.
The individual responsible for the shooting is a 31-year-old female who was a 5.5-year veteran of the NYPD. She is a police officer assigned to a patrol borough, Brooklyn South Precinct.
Assistant Chief Kemper says the officer was taken into custody. President Biden is rejecting Donald Trump's executive privilege claims and instructed the National Archives to release Trump's January 6th related documents to a House committee investigating that attack. Meanwhile, former Acting Attorney General Jeffrey Rosen testified before the committee yesterday. They've also subpoenaed his former associate, Jeffrey Clark. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. It's 5:10 on Wall Street. Time now for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Report. Good morning, John Stashower.
Good morning, John. The Rangers and Capitals played nicely in the season opener in Washington, as opposed to what happened last May at the Garden when Caps enforcer Tom Wilson punched the Rangers Artemi Panarin and Pavel Buchnevich and then didn't get suspended. And the Rangers, a few days later, took off the gloves, and there were six fights in the first 5 minutes. No fights last night, although the Rangers hurt themselves with nine penalties. The Capitals won easily 5-1. Alex Ovechkin scored twice. The Islanders open their season tonight at Carolina. They are playing their first 13 games on the road until their new arena is ready to go. The Knicks, for what it's worth, went 3-0 in the preseason. They beat the Pistons at the Garden 108-100. Julius Randle scored 29. We have heard from Kyrie Irving via Instagram. His first comments since the Nets announced that Irving will not play for them as long as he has not gotten the vaccine.
Why are you putting it on me? You know, like this is not part of you know, what's going on in conversations with scientists, physicians, and doctors. I'm just a hooper, right? Like, I'm just a person who's being utilized as an example. For some odd reason, you know, people love to have my name in the mix of just some BS.
Sometimes hard with Kyrie to know exactly what he's talking about, but he did say he is not an anti-vaxxer, that his stance is about being upset that people are losing jobs over vaccine mandates. Giants and Dodgers played a winner-take-all game in New York 70 years ago. That was the Bobby Thompson shot heard around the world. They'll play a decisive Game 5 tonight in San Francisco. Bucks and Eagles play in Philadelphia, kicking off Week 6. The Giants say quarterback Daniel Jones is on track to play Sunday against the Rams, despite last week's concussion. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. John?
All right, John, thanks a lot. And ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, Dow futures right now, they are up 195 points, up 0.6%. S&P futures 30 points higher, and the NASDAQ futures right now up 127 points. That's a rise of 0.9%. If you're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And the Bloomberg Sports Report was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Let them help protect you, your family, and your business. You're listening to Daybreak.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Nathan Hager. Stocks are rising along with U.S. equity futures as traders take signs of inflationary pressures building up in the post-pandemic recovery in stride. Seemingly. We check the markets every 15 minutes during the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are up 29 points. Dow futures up 184. NASDAQ futures up 126 points. Germany's DAX up 0.8%. The CAC in Paris is higher by 0.7%. Little change to the 10-year. The yield sits at 1.53%, while the yield on the 2 years at 0.35%. NYMEX crude's up 1.2%, now up 98 cents, $81.42 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.2%, up $3.80 at $1,798.50 an ounce. The euro is at 1.1624 against the dollar. British pound, 1.3713. The yen is at 113.35. 8:30 Wall Street time, we get weekly jobless claims and another read on inflation in the form of the September producer price index, and talk about a busy day for bank earnings. Bank of America, Wells Fargo, Citigroup, and Morgan Stanley all report before the opening bell. That is a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now, here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. The White House once again said it would not support former President Donald Trump's assertion of executive privilege over records related to the January 6th insurrection. They ordered the National Archives to turn over documents to congressional investigators within 30 days. A man armed with a bow and arrows killed five people and wounded others near the Norwegian capital of Oslo. Police in Kongsberg say the suspect was arrested. An investigation is underway into the motive. In the NHL, the Capitals beat their division rival, the Rangers, 5-1. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. John.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is 5:20 on Wall Street. We're live for the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's get you set up for the trading day ahead. Guest this morning, Simon French, the chief economist at Panmure Gordon. Simon, always a pleasure. Thanks for being with us this morning. What are the main takeaways from the minutes from the Federal Reserve meeting?
Good morning, John, and a massive pleasure to talk to you this morning. I think I took two major takeaways. First of all, the consistency, actually, of the language of the FOMC, not just in their minutes, but actually the speech that we had from Governor Bowman yesterday, all really guiding market expectations to see a glide path on reduction in balance sheet net purchases over the course of the first half of 2022. But the second takeaway, of course, was, I think, an acknowledgement that the Federal Reserve, like pretty much every economist, has been surprised by the persistence of inflation, largely not due to monetary conditions, but because of supply-side pressures. And I think holding a sort of a bit of a watching brief that these don't spread into other, perhaps more core aspects of inflation expectations and fears that would then be the kind of environment that the Fed has to react quite aggressively to, rather than its preferred approach of being quite gradualist.
So they're rethinking the idea this is transitory?
I don't think they're rethinking it. I think I know there are FOMC members who would like to keep putting their dollars in the fine box for every time they mention transitory. But I think overall, if you look at the component parts of the CPI print we had yesterday, these are unlikely to be, in my view, sustained as demand patterns return to their pre-pandemic normals. We have to acknowledge that consumers all over the world are still demanding very, very different things than they demanded before the pandemic. And while that persists, supply chains are going to be disrupted. They're used to a fairly stable pattern of consumer demand. I expect that to reassert itself as the pandemic eases. So that is why I sit in the camp of expecting this to be temporary, to avoid my fine of using the other T-lettered word. And I think the FOMC are in that same place.
Okay, stagflation was sort of the one of the focus of markets lately. Is that overdone?
I think it's overdone. I've been quite vocal on this, that stagflation, most people obsess about the first two parts of stagflation, the slowing growth profile, which we're seeing in Q3 and the start of Q4, rising inflation, yes, two ticks, but there's a third element, a third leg of the stool on stagflation, that is rising unemployment. I see no signs in the U.S. economy or indeed the global economy that the labor markets are weakening. And in order to get stagflationary conditions, you do need a labor market weakening. We see record demand across a wide variety of sectors for labor at the moment. And in that environment, I don't expect stagflationary conditions to set in.
Yeah, at the end of the day, Simon, as you know, it's all about profits. Are we seeing any evidence of margins suffering?
At the moment, no. The household, the U.S. household, still has resources above what they would have expected to have had ahead of the pandemic. That is an extraordinary success of fiscal transfers through the stimulus checks, the amount of forbearance that has been introduced into the U.S. economy. And as a result, in the main, corporate America is able to maintain margins and push through price increases that households will absorb. But as those emergency pandemic programs get withdrawn, I think it remains to be seen whether profit margins can be sustained in an environment where households may be more reluctant, more challenging of absorbing price increases quarter on quarter.
Just to circle back to the minutes for a moment, there's the tapering aspect of it, but what about rate rises?
Yeah, I think there's a real communications challenge for the FOMC here, is that if they continue with guiding the markets to a tapering to net purchases of zero by June of July of 2022, how much clear blue water are they going to leave between that point and starting rate increases? Now, if you take their maximum employment target and you look at the U.S. economy being 5 million jobs light, and we're seeing jobs added at a rate of 550,000-600,000 per annum. That takes you, per month. That takes you to the end of next year before any conversation really happens about rate increases. I actually think, though, that if the participation rate starts to increase, you could be still talking into the middle half of 2023. I think that's the challenge, to get that communications message out there into the market.
Simon, always a pleasure. Thanks very much for being here this morning. Simon French, Chief Economist at Panmure Gordon. Ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, it's risk on. Dow futures up 184. The S&P futures up 30 points. And the NASDAQ E-mini futures up 128 points. This is Bloomberg. And Bloomberg Daybreak being brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Let them help protect you, your family, and your business. Just ahead, our top headlines. This is Bloomberg.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker.
I'm Nathan Hager. We're just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are rising this morning after minutes from the Fed's latest meeting showed officials ready to start pulling back bond purchases as soon as next month. Markets took the news in stride. Stocks rose while yields on 2- and 10-year treasuries fell. We get more from Wells Fargo portfolio manager Margie Patel.
When you put it all together, the Fed is convinced that they will provide enough liquidity that we won't have any real hiccups in the economy due to inflation. So as long as they keep the money spigot open, we'll have a little bit of inflation, and the Fed will accommodate the financial markets to keep them going up.
Margie Patel says investors who are hoping for higher Treasury yields will likely be disappointed.
Well, staying on the Fed now, one outspoken former Treasury Secretary is taking aim at the central bank. And let's get details from Bloomberg's Renita Young, who joins us live. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, John. Larry Summers is blasting Fed officials for their handling of inflation. The former Treasury Secretary says some are paying too much attention to social issues and not enough to the risk posed by higher prices.
They're defining themselves by how concerned they are about the environment, financial excess, and business ethics.
Bloomberg contributor Larry Summers says inflation risks are at the highest level since the 70s. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And Renita, well, inflation concerns also showed up in Asia overnight. Data there show China's factory inflation growing at the fastest rate in almost 26 years. September's producer price index rose 10.7% from a year earlier.
Well, back here in the U.S., it's all about banks today. Several big firms report third quarter earnings today on the heels of yesterday's results from J.P. Morgan. Bloomberg's Larry Kofsky reports.
Bank of America, Citigroup, and Morgan Stanley will open their books today. And once again, lending growth will be a major focus. B of A and Citi traded lower yesterday after J.P. Morgan reported a decline in consumer and commercial lending. Analysts see a more than 3% decline in total loans at Bank of America. Citi's are expected to grow by 5.3%. Morgan Stanley is expected to see a 6% profit gain on strong institutional revenue. Larry Kofsky, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Larry, thanks. And after today's round of bank earnings, stay tuned for an interview with the CEO of Morgan Stanley, James Gorman, sits down for a conversation with Bloomberg Radio and Television. That's coming up at 10:30 a.m. Wall Street time. Head of the open on Wall Street, futures are moving higher with S&P futures up 31 points, Dow futures up 204, NASDAQ futures higher by 131 points. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Nathan. 5:33 on Wall Street, and let's bring in Michael Barr now with more on what else is going on in New York and around the world.
John, thank you very much, sir. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio says the city's COVID-19 vaccination mandate for restaurants, gyms, and entertainment venues is going so well that only 15 businesses have been fined for not enforcing the policy. De Blasio says that the high rate of compliance with the vaccine mandate shows that the vast majority of business owners want to keep their employees and customers safe.
So far, there's been over 31,000 inspections all across New York City to make sure the Keyed NYC approach was working. And so far, after a full month, all the preparation, all the communication, all the education. There's only been 15 violations necessary in that whole time.
Mayor de Blasio is also amping up calls for congestion pricing to combat traffic in increasingly congested streets and encourage a faster return to mass transit amid the recovery from the pandemic. De Blasio says there is clearly a problem of too many people in cars. An off-duty New York City police officer is in custody after authorities say she shot two women, one of whom she was intimately involved with. The shooting yesterday left one woman dead and the other injured. Assistant Chief Michael Kemper says the officer was in a relationship with one of the women.
The MOS, the cop, had a relationship with a female. That female is alive. There's another female in the equation who was shot and pronounced deceased.
Assistant Chief Kemper says the officer was arrested. The House Select Committee investigating the January 6th insurrection at the U.S. Capitol interviewed former Acting Attorney General Jeffrey Rosen yesterday for 8 hours. Loyola Law Professor Lori Levinson believes it's a significant development for the committee to be interviewing Rosen.
This is very helpful for the committee because it paints the portrait of why January 6th was happening, that President Trump was trying to use all the aspects of government, including the Department of Justice.
Former federal prosecutor Lori Levinson spoke to CBS. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. John.
All right, Michael, thank you. And it's now 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Report is John Stashower.
Thanks, John. A new Rangers season began with a new coach, Gerard Gallant. But in Washington, same star player. The Capitals weren't sure Alex Ovechkin was going to play. He did. 2 goals, 2 assists. The Caps won 5-1. Ovechkin now with 732 career goals. He moved ahead of one-time Ranger Marcel Dion into fifth all-time. He even scored shorthanded for only the fifth time in his career. There were no fights. The Rangers and Capitals played a fight-filled game last May at the Garden, the result of the Caps' Tom Wilson sucker-punching a couple of Ranger players. At the Garden last night, Knicks beat the Pistons 108-100. Also, NBA preseason, Dallas beat Charlotte, and the margin of victory was 68 points. The Nets moving on without Kyrie Irving. Coach Steve Nash said the decision to not use Irving, even for road games, was difficult but sound. Irving went on his Instagram to try and explain why he has not gotten the vaccine. He said it's about challenging a perceived control of society and people's livelihoods. NFL tonight, Tampa Bay at Philadelphia Sunday. The 1-4 Giants back home after two straight on the road. They face the 4-1 Rams. Joe Judge on Daniel Jones, who's in concussion protocol.
Let's say he's kind of on track with everything right now. He's with the trainers. He can't walk through or practice or anything. Let's say he's in the meetings. He's participating in that part right there. We'll go through the rest of the week and kind of see where that all leads.
Nothing definite on Saquon Barkley as they await more test results, but Barkley not expected to play. He was last seen on crutches. Dodgers and Giants have both won 109 games this season. They play in NLDS decisive Game 5 tonight in San Francisco. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. John?
Thanks, John. 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report with Ed Curry.
New York's residential brokers are about to get their own listings website. The city's major brokerages and the trade group that represents them are working with HomeSnap, owned by CoStar Group, to develop the new platform. CitySnap is set to debut next year. It'll offer home shoppers an alternative to Zillow's StreetEasy and other sites. Madison Avenue is coming back to life as New Yorkers return to the city and head back to the office. Dow Jones reports falling rent prices and rising availability have also created opportunities for younger retailers and even pop-up shops to open in storefronts that are normally reserved for established luxury brands. The New Jersey Board of Medical Examiners has voted to remove barriers to reproductive health services and expand access to care. The board voted Wednesday to adopt new rules to eliminate medically unnecessary regulations on abortion. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
Thanks, Ed. 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Karen Chase on WHAS in Louisville. I'll be talking about steps Twitter is taking to reduce disinformation and snark.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that more than 10,000 workers at Deere have gone on strike for better pay.
I'm Caroline Hepke on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on fears of a Christmas toy shortage in the UK as the lack of lorry drivers hits another element of the British economy.
I'm Ann Cateson on WTIC in Hartford, Connecticut. I'll be reporting on the best place to start over career-wise.
I'm Ed Corey on WTAM in Cleveland. I'm reporting another attempt in Ohio to establish a recreational marijuana program.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. It's 5:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
In the last fiscal year, the U.S. failed to issue roughly 80,000 green cards that could have been given to immigrant workers. The shortfall adds to a backlog of more than 1 million people waiting to receive employment-based visas. Congress should ensure those green cards are used and fix a system that pointlessly burdens skilled immigrants. At issue is tens of thousands of unused green cards that expired on September 30th. Legislation introduced by Republicans would authorize the government to recapture those cards, rolling them into next year. Democrats should embrace that bill, and they shouldn't stop there. Congress should also help the Immigration Service deal with staff shortages that slow green card processing. And the Biden administration should streamline the approval process. But first, lawmakers should pass the bill to keep all those expired green cards from going to waste. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. And the Bloomberg Sports Report was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Let them help protect you, your family, and your business. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Nathan Hager. This flash is brought to you by SEI. Since its founding 50 years ago, SEI has provided investment managers and asset owners with robust infrastructure platforms and flexible outsourcing solutions. Go to SEIC.com/IMS. Investors appear to be taking inflation concerns in stride. We are pointing to a risk-on morning with S&P futures up 30 points. Dow futures up 201, NASDAQ futures up 120 points. Little change to the 10-year at the moment, the yield at 1.53%. Yield on the two-year is 0.35%. NYMEX crude up 1.2% of 98 cents, $81.42 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.2% of $3.20 at $1,797.90 an ounce. The euro 1.1612 against the dollar. British pound 1.3721. The yen 113.35. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. And now, here's Michael Barr. More on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. The number of firearms detected at airport checkpoints this year is already the highest in the 20-year history of the TSA. The agency says it has found 11 firearms in carry-on bags per 1 million travelers screened. That is up from just 5 per million in 2019. In Italy, it's the end of an era. After three-quarters of a century, the country's national airliner at Alitalia is hitting the skies for the last day. Olympic champion gymnasts are asking Congress to dissolve the U.S. Olympic Committee's board of directors. The gymnasts say Congress should remove committee board members who they say ignored evidence of sex abuse by jailed former Dr. Larry Nassar. In the NHL, the Capitals beat their division rival, the Rangers, 5-1. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. John.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is 5:49 on Wall Street. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. Bank of America, Morgan Stanley, Citigroup report earnings today. Let's get a preview now from Bloomberg Global Finance Correspondent, Shanali Vasek. Hi there.
Hello there.
The bar was set pretty high.
Yes, I have all my spreadsheets
ready. J.P. Morgan Chase. Well, we're talking about, at least with them, deal-making. Some of the banks reporting today are a little more consumer-focused.
Yes, that's for sure. So J.P. Morgan really blew it out of the park when it came to investment banking figures. Every single investment banking line had made more than $1 billion. So just an extraordinary amount of fees in that business. Consumer was a bigger concern. Investors are not loving the pace of loan growth and the lack of real guidance around what we can see into next year. We expect it to pick up into next year, but there's not a clear sense of how fast, especially with the card business, where consumers are still paying down their balances very quickly.
Okay, so how close are we getting back in terms of loan growth for small businesses, for individuals, to say pre-pandemic levels? It's still pretty far away?
Yes. Yes. And so the expectation that we have for Bank of America, which is, you know, one of the biggest in the country, of course, a much bigger mix of its bank is consumer. We expect that there's actually going to be a jump in revenue, which is different than we're seeing at all the other banks from last quarter. All the other banks are experiencing revenue declines. So they're expected to post about $10.6 billion in net interest income. Let's see if they meet that. That would be an increase as we look through the year. They've guided that it could be higher by the end of the year. So the question is that keeping up?
Let me talk about net interest margins right now. With rates going up, or, you know, who knows what the trajectory is there, has that improved significantly for the banks? They're in the business of lending money, essentially.
Yeah. That's the problem. Right now, they're not able to make much money from lending. Why is that? Because consumers are paying down debt so early. They're not borrowing in some of the key businesses, especially when it comes to the individual. Again, it's a little bit better than last quarter. What the banks really are finding a lot of profit from right now is they are still releasing a lot of reserves. Remember, they had provisioned so much last year, and they are releasing them at a very fast clip, really, showing that the economy is going to get better. But again, when does that start to translate into more consumer borrowing?
How focused are you on expenses from these major institutions?
Very much.
And what does that tell you?
They set the tone for the rest of earnings, right? Because they are going to see the same margin pressures as everybody else. They have to be spending more on talent. J.P. Morgan.
They're spending a lot on bankers to bring in those big deals.
Yeah, exactly. These banks pay for performance, and this has been a very good year for investment banking. So costs may be going up. J.P. Morgan has actually increased the headcount. We'll look at the headcount at the other banks. They have been generally declining at the big consumer banks. And technology spend. Technology.
Yeah,
and
that's the interesting part. As they pivot away from traditional banking, if I could use that phrase, and more toward fintech, financial technology.
It was really interesting. J.P. Morgan has done a lot of small fintech type acquisitions all year. And are we going to see that same demand from its peers is a question. Jamie Dimon also name-checked a firm, which was interesting to me because buy now, pay later has been booming so much, and those new companies have been competing with the existing banks.
They've never been able to do this themselves in-house. Am I wrong? They're going acquisitions of fintechs, right?
Yeah, and yes, a lot of these banks have a lot of legacy technology. So the question is, can entrepreneurs do certain things faster, steal the hearts of consumers faster? J.P. Morgan has made some interesting acquisitions, like the Infatuation. Yes, yeah. the restaurant finding company. And it's because those are things that could be interesting perks to their card consumers. So we'll see what types of acquisition strategy the rest of them pursue. We're speaking to James Gorman of Morgan Stanley later today.
When you say we, you mean you.
Yes, I.
Okay.
I and our colleagues, Alex and Guy Johnson, we will be speaking to him today. And James Gorman, David Solomon tomorrow over at Goldman Sachs. And we definitely have a lot to parse through in terms of what they're expecting as trading normalizes.
We'll have that at 10:30. Bloomberg Global Finance correspondent Shanali Basik. Thanks very much. Nathan.
Nice tease there, John and Shanali. Thank you both. It is coming up to 5:54 on Wall Street. Time for our Bloomberg Law Report. It's brought to you by American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for more than 90 years, ADR.org. Now let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
White House says the commission that has been studying changes to the Supreme Court, including court expansion, will release draft documents today. Amazon, Facebook, and other companies could face fines over fake reviews or other misleading endorsements online, according to a warning from the Federal Trade Commission. A filing in a California federal court says the EPA has agreed to study the risks of asbestos exposure as part of an agreement with health groups that accused the agency of conducting an inadequate review.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Now to another major legal story we're watching. The Supreme Court hearing oral arguments yesterday in one of the highest profile cases of its term, the death sentence for the Boston Marathon bomber. A jury sentenced Jahar Tsarnaev to death for setting off one of the bombs that killed three people at the 2013 marathon. The First Circuit Court of Appeals threw out that sentence, but many conservative justices seem skeptical about that decision. For more on the case, Bloomberg's June Grosso speaks with John Bloom, professor at Cornell Law School and director of the Cornell Death Penalty Project.
Here, the Biden administration is arguing to reinstate the death sentence when Biden ran on ending the federal death penalty. And in July, the attorney general placed a moratorium on federal executions. Why do you suppose the Biden administration is taking this position?
Well, I mean, there is some mystery to it. In theory, you could draw a distinction between saying we're not going to pursue the death penalty going forward, or we're not going to allow any executions going forward, but nevertheless, we're not going to try and disturb previous convictions and death sentences which have been imposed. I think some of it is because they didn't actually seek certiorari. It was the Trump administration that asked the government to review the decision of the First Circuit. The Supreme Court had already made that decision when Biden became president, and maybe they just didn't want to withdraw it at the time, but there definitely is some head-scratching going on about some of it.
So does it appear that there are the votes to reverse the First Circuit and reinstate the death penalty?
I mean, if all you were doing was listening to the oral argument, that was the only thing you considered, you would say, I think that most likely the Supreme Court's going to reverse. But, of course, you know the Supreme Court is most likely to reverse from the fact that they grant cert. When they grant certiorari, they grant cert to reverse about 80% of the time, just the pure statistics of it. They see a ruling where they think a lower court got it right. They don't usually decide to hear the case, so they can say, okay, First Circuit, we just want you to know we think you're doing a hell of a job there. So just from that, you would know that most likely the government's going to prevail. If you just listen to the oral argument, you would think, okay, the government's pretty good chance they're going to prevail. But, you know, there have been a number of cases where it didn't turn out exactly like people anticipated at oral argument, and this potentially could be one of them.
And that's Cornell Law Professor John Bloom speaking with Bloomberg's June Grosso. You can catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by listening to the Bloomberg Law Show at 10 p.m. Eastern Time or subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast. Attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. Big day for bank earnings, of course. We're watching earnings from United Health across the Bloomberg terminal at the moment. The company has boosted its adjusted earnings per share forecast to $18.65 to $18.90 per share. So an upgrade to the outlook for United Health. Futures moving higher straight ahead. More of Bloomberg Daybreak. This is Bloomberg.